All right, let's all turn in our Bibles to Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 to 6.
Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths.
Okay, let's talk about a very short passage of Scripture, which everybody kind of knows, right? Lean not on your own understanding. How many practice that? That's what I thought. I mean, who really does not process things based upon your own understanding? Don't we all?
Yes.
I'm going to give you a little exercise in this and how this kind of goes. You walk into a room and everybody's talking. And they're talking casually back and forth. And you walk into the room and all of a sudden everybody stops talking. What are they talking about? I heard a lot of me's. Who would think they're talking about you? You know, walk into a room, everybody's talking, you walk in the room, they go, shh. And nobody's saying a word. And since they're talking about you, are they talking negative or positive? Oh, negative, of course. Isn't that crazy? Isn't that crazy how you process that? You don't have a clue. You don't have a clue what they're talking about. But yet, you automatically go to the talking about me. You don't got a clue. And since they're talking about you, they're obviously talking about something which is negative. Right? Isn't that crazy? Well, why do you know that? The fact is, do you know that? No. But you think that, though, don't you? You're leaning on your own understanding. And now you're kind of letting that stew all day long. Because you kind of go yourself, what are you talking about? Nothing. Now you know positively sure that they're talking about who? You. And you know one of these people had to start it too. And you're kind of trying to figure out who was it. Right? And so all day long you let that stew. And at the end of the day, how's your feeling, do you think? You feeling pretty good about yourself? No. But yet you don't have a clue. You really don't have a clue. Could it not have been that this group of people are talking and somebody gave an announcement beforehand, said, hey, look, at 10 o'clock we're going to get started. Let's all, you know, stop talking at 10 o'clock. And you happen to walk in the door at 10 o'clock and everybody goes, could it possibly be not about you? Could it be the world does not evolve around you? I mean, is it possible that people really do not go around all day long thinking about you? I mean, is it possible that you are not on the forefront of everybody's mind? Turn to somebody and say, believe me, I'm not thinking about you all day long. You don't do it, but don't do it, Sonny. I mean, it is possible. I mean, it is possible that there's other things to think about other than what?
You.
I mean, it really is. But yet, we're conditioned to lean on our own understanding. How many know your understanding can be wrong? How many of you ever had understanding that was wrong? But yet, instinctively, how do you know that people were maybe talking about you but saying, well, how great a person that you were? How many would say, fat chance that ain't happening? Because you don't think you're so great. So you think there's many things or shortcomings in your life that makes people talk about you. How do you know they weren't planning a surprise party because you're like the greatest person to them in the whole world? There ain't no way to ask. But see, that's why you process it, right? There's no way to have a party for me because you're processing it with whose eyes? Yours. Yours. I gave an example of this once before. You're driving down the road. You're at a red light. You're sitting there and you're minding your own business. The light is red. The light turns green. You step on the gas and a car coming in the opposite direction busts through the light. Almost wipes you out. How many of you are taking a right-hand turn to go talk to that person? Well, that's what you want to do, right? You're going, oh, there's no way this is happening to me. And so you want to take a right-hand turn, catch that guy at the next light and say, wind your window down. I want to give you a couple of my driving lessons. That's what you want to do, right? That's what you want to do. It's all about you. I'm going to run down the road. I'm going to get that guy. I'm going to give him a piece of my mind. How many, do people do that, you think? We call that what? Road rage. Oh, man, he's not going to do that to me. But see what you didn't know. What you didn't know, because you're making it all about your understanding, is that guy just received a phone call that his wife is in dire emergency issues and he needs to get to the hospital as quickly as he can. But see, you made it all about who?
You.
It's all about you. Your own understanding. Your own understanding. You go into McDonald's. You're bebopping through. You're kind of late. You go into McDonald's. You order a number one. Anybody know what a number one is? Who said Big Mac? Better stay out of there. It's better stay out of there. Well, I prefer a number four, a quarter pounder. You can tell it's working wonders, huh? Hi, does these pants make my butt look big? Oh, let's go talk. So you go to McDonald's, you order number one, right? You walk out with a fish sandwich. You wanted a Big Mac, you got a fish sandwich. You go out in the car, you go, what's wrong with this person? What are you going to have, a college degree to work at McDonald's? Oh, what's wrong? You push the number one. What's wrong? I can't believe I'm not taking this, not one more second. Go back and, hey, lady. But see, what you didn't know, was she just got a phone call that her kid was declined student aid and they don't know how they're going to pay for the next semester. But see, you made it about who? You. It's your understanding. It's all about me and my understanding. You're in the Walmart. You're in a 20-item aisle. Somebody's got 62 items in the cage in front of you. And you noticed because you counted them. What's the matter? Oh, she's got 24 items. And you want to give her peace of your mind. Hey, lady, that's why they got the other aisles open. See, what you don't know is she just got a phone call from the nurse or her doctor said her test came back positive and she has breast cancer. But see, you don't know that. All you know is your understanding. How many understand that? It's all about your understanding. And God says, lean not on your own understanding. But in all ways, trust God. How many of you know sometimes your wife or your spouse may have a bad day? And how many know it may not be about you? It really, truly may not. I know the world evolves around you and everything, but guess what? It may not be about you. It may be that your spouse, for example, is having a bad day. Is it okay for your spouse to have a bad day? It's okay. But what we always seem to do is to lean on our own understanding. How many of you are thanking God that you are not in charge? How many thank God the person next to you is definitely not in charge? How many of you know the person next to you thinks they're in charge, though? I mean, let's be real, right? But we're not in charge. We're only bebopping through life. I mean, how many of you told the ocean only to come so far and no further? Really? I mean, how many of you really truly said there's going to be 24 hours in a day? How many of you forecast 6 weeks of spring? We should shoot that guy, right? How many know there's a death warrant out for that groundhog?
He's wanted.
Mick Groundhog. And the reality of it is that there is somebody in charge, and that somebody sure is not you. It says in that passage of scripture that we just read, and in all ways acknowledge God. Well, let's acknowledge him. Let's do some acknowledge of him today. First of all, is there a God?
Yes.
How many agree there's a God? Perfect. So we know there's a God. So this God that you say exists, is he one of many gods? No. Is he the God? How many say he's the God? Cool. Now, this the God that you say exists, did he create everything in the universe? Everything. Okay. And does anybody believe in a Big Bang theory?
Sure.
Oh, I do. Because when he said, let there be light, what happened? Bang! See, that's how you argue that. Pastor, you believe in a Big Bang? Well, of course I do. When God created the earth, it went bang, and the earth was there. I believe it. Now, did this God who created everything create you?
Yes.
How many say yes?
Yes.
Did anybody in this room create him?
No.
Then quit acting like it.
Oh, snap.
Snap it out. So quit acting like you created him, because you didn't. He created you. And quit confining him to your little box you stick him in, thinking that he can only be God according to what you say. Get over yourself. That ain't how this works. Take God out of your box and let God be God. Somebody say amen. Quit confining God to what your image is. And remember, he created you. You surely did not create him. He created you. Now, does God create junk?
No.
Huh. That means I'm not junk. Like that's something. I mean, he never created anything that was junky. He only created that which is perfect. Now, I know you're having a hard time thinking that you're perfect, because I'm going to help you. You don't do perfect things. But you are perfect in his eyes. You have the ability to do the things which is right. Don't you? And so God created everything. And he created us. And he created us in his image. Now, what we got to ask ourselves is this. This God who exists, is he like a cosmic clockmaker kind of God? And what I mean by that, he creates everything. And he just sits back in his rocking chair. He sits back in his rocking chair and he says, give me the chips and the dip, kind of, sort of. And he just kind of like watches the world go by.
No.
He just goes, nah. Look at this. Look what they're doing now. It's the craziest thing. How many know God's got a sense? He's got to have a sense of humor, right? He said, look what they're doing. Look at this. Look at that lady sitting on the beach screaming, I am God, I am God, I am God. I think he has a sense of humor. But is his hand directly involved in his creation? How many say yes? Well, cool. All right, so this God who we worship, is he involved in his creation? Yes. Now, let's just test that for just a second. We know that there are people everywhere that suffer. Is that a true statement? Cool. Now, God sees this old widow lady that has a hole in her roof and the rain is pouring in. Does God have like carpenter angels like in the union up there or something? Like he calls the carpenter angels and say, hey, you know, Raphael and Leonardo, that's the turtles, I know, but go down there and fix that roof. Does God do that?
No.
But he wants the roof fixed because the lady's praying about it. True statement, right? Lord, please. Lord, I have rain coming in my house, and I don't have money to fix this roof. Lord, please fix the house. And so God doesn't call like 10 angels with aprons on and nail guns and say, get on down there and fix that house. That's not what he does. Is it? No. He sends who?
Us.
He sends us. Doesn't he? But how does he get that message to us? Does he like send an email? Oh, Mary says a heart. Okay. God's not into text messaging like emails. Leonard? What? The Spirit of God moves you. Wow. But how does he get that to you? I mean, how do you find out about the lady that's got a hole in her roof? How does that happen? I mean, how does it happen? Now, we might sit here all day long and kind of figure that out, right? Theologically and doctrinally. Well, but you know what? Sometimes you don't have to know how it happens. You just have to know what? It happens. Could it be that you're in the Walmart line with a lady with the 65 items in front of you and you're the one that's complaining about it and she's the one that's got the hole in the roof? Could it not be that you're seeing somebody that's having a bad day? Instead of whining and complaining about you, say, you know, I notice that you just seem to be so distracted. Not, I really don't want to, you know, get involved with your issues, but it seems to me like you're really distracted. Would it be okay if I prayed with you? And she said, oh my God, and the tears just start flowing. Anybody ever have that experience? And the tears start flowing. Say, what's wrong? Oh, I got a hole in my roof. I don't know how I'm going to get it fixed. You know, I don't know what I'm supposed to do. I mean, is that not possible? That God puts you in the position that you're in to help the person who needs it? Is that not possible? I mean, it is possible. You know, God has a way of getting you to do what God wants you to do. A little while ago, we all prayed the Lord's Prayer, didn't we? And most of you could recite it. Our Father, which art in heaven. What's the rest? Thy. Hold it. I heard you say it. Second time I heard you say that. Let me try that again. Our Father, which art in heaven, Hallowed be thy name. Hold it. Thy will be done. Do you mean that? Now that's a real neat thing to say. I mean, that's a real nice thing just to repeat. You know, hickory dickory. See, you knew that one too. You knew that. I was like, Humpty Dumpty sat. You knew that. This is crazy. You knew this. Jesus knew it. Ring around the. You knew that. This is really cool. How many like that little nursery rhyme? Ring around the roses. Oh, anybody ever do that before? Come on, Ryan. Let's you and me do it, Ryan. Yeah, come on. Sit down, Ryan. I ain't doing it. Are you crazy? You think I'd really do that? Ring around the rosies, pocket full of Who likes that? Remember that little thing you taught your kids? How many taught that to your kids? Isn't that like, you know where that came from? The Black Plague. Did you know that? The Black Plague. When people were dying from bubonic plague. Ring around the rosy, when you got the plague of big old sores on your arm, it's like a circle, and they put a ring around it, and they say, oh man, you got it. You got the Black Plague. A ring around the rosy. And back then they didn't embalm people, so they stuck roses in your pockets. Pocket full of posies. Isn't that a nice little nursery rhyme? Would you teach your kid that today? It's more like, it's the same kind of thing. And so what we got to truly understand, we got to say to ourselves, wait a second, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, thy kingdom come. We just say it, but do you mean it? If you mean it, then you have to understand two things. He has a will. He has a will. How many believe he has a will? I mean, he really does. He says, my will. How many? He's got a will, and his will be done. And who? Everybody else but me. Because I'm busy this afternoon. I ain't got time for this will stuff today. I'll get you in on Monday between 2 and 4, God, but not today. How many know? No. He's not asking about your day timer. He's not checking your schedule. When he wants his will to be done, guess what? It will be done. Now, you can go in the belly of a smelly fish if you want to go to Nineveh. Or you can take the Pat bus, but you're going to Nineveh. If he wants you to go, guess what, Pastor Colin? You're going. You go kicking and screaming if you want, but you're going. Is anybody here having excuses about why you can't do stuff? Oh, I see his hands going. What? How many's got excuses? See when I ask that? See Heidi? Now everybody's hands go, nee, nee, nee. And all the rest, you're lying on me. You're lying, and it's not good to be lying. How many's got excuses sometimes? See, everybody's hand goes up now. See, Mark, how you just bring it out. You bring it out. Well, I'm not smart enough. I'm not big enough. I'm not educated enough. I don't go to seminary. I don't know the Bible. I'm too old. I'm too young. Not everybody has a glorious body like mine. I can understand that. Bush is going. I saw you, Bush. I saw you. I saw you, Bush. What? But the reality of it is, God uses the brokenhearted. God uses the brokenness so that he gets the glory. How many understand that? God doesn't use all the smartest and the bestest and the biggest and the strongest. He uses us. Us. To go fix holes in roofs. He uses us to go feed somebody that's hungry. He uses us for the downtrodden. Because he has a will. And guess what? He's got plans for you. Turn to Jeremiah 29 verse 11. And most of you know this passage of scripture. Those of you who are Bible thumping, card carrying, Jesus freak, you knew this too, right? Everybody knows this passage of scripture. For those who know this, but if you don't, underline it, put it in your brain. It's important that you know it. Jeremiah 29:11.
For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future.
He's got plans. God's a planner. God doesn't stand back and say, oh, look what they did. What am I going to do now? That's not how this works. God's got plans. And who does he have plans for? Us. I want you to say me when I ask, who does God God's plans for? Me. He's got plans for us. He does. He's got plans for every one of us. Every one of us he has plans for. And his plans are not to do us harm. His plans are not to do us evil. His plans. Now we need to think this through. Lean not on our own understanding, but trust him. Let's take a little inventory. I asked you a little while ago, I said you walked into a room and everybody's talking, you walked in, everybody shut up, who was they talking about? And you said what? Me. And I said, were they talking good or bad? You said, bad. It's not true, but it's what you think. Now, how many of you sometimes think, boy, God's got it out for me? I'm the only one in this room. But God's got it out for. Who's ever said, oh, I know he never gives you more than you can bear? How many quote that passage of scripture? Charlene, you quote that? Put your hand down, because that's wrong. I'm telling you right now, don't quote that. Heidi, I saw your hand go up too. Heidi went, who quotes this? God never gives you more than you can bear. Put your hand down, Mary, it's wrong. Because that's not what that says. That's not what that says. It says God will not tempt you more than you can bear. It does not say God never gives you more than you can bear, because he always gives you more than you can bear. And you know why? So you can go to him. You said that? Boy, that's a smart one today. Snap that out. So God does not allow you to be tempted beyond which that you can bear. He always gives you a way out. But God gives you more than you can bear. You think the disciples had more than they could bear? I think being fed the lions is not a good thing. No, I mean, that's not a good thing. Really, being thrown in a fiery furnace, that's not a good day. That's really not a good day. Really, is it? And so God gives us more than we can bear so that we can understand how strong we are. If we never had a trial or a tribulation in our life, we would be cushy. How many of you ever had a trial or a tribulation? Everybody gets them. And that's how we have to lean not on our own understanding. When we think to ourselves, I'm the only one this happens to, why are you against me? That's your understanding. And it's wrong. It's wrong. How many people go through bad things? Everybody goes through bad things. Let's do a little testing, a little inventory in this room right here. How many of you are born again, Bible thumping, card carrying, Jesus quoting, Bible quoting kind of people? But you remember that's a test. How many are those kind of people? How many love the Lord? Amen. Cool. Now, everybody that's ever had a trial or tribulation, stand up. Stand up. My mom's standing in her heart. I know you are, Ma. Well, wait a second. Now, we got a problem then. We something's wrong here. Because you just told me that you love the Lord, and you told me you're one of them born-again, Bible-thumping, card-carrying, Jesus-freak kind of people. You just told me that, but yet you're going through trials and tribulations. Oh, we got a problem here. Sit back down. You're making me tired. You just told me that you have trials and tribulations, but you also told me that you love the Lord. Now, wait a second. In my way of thinking, that's not computing. Because my understanding goes like this. Hey, if you don't love Jesus, then you should go through some trials and tribulations. You ought to, you heathen. But because I love the Lord, it shouldn't happen to me. It should happen to who? Everybody else. Definitely you. It happens to who, Jimmy? Everybody. Everybody. Don't you think that when my son was killed, I had some questions about that? Don't you think I had some? When the drunk driver lives and my son doesn't, don't you think I had some questions? This ain't fair! How come he lives and he died? Oh, wait a second. Are you checking the tally sheet here? What's the deal? What's the deal with that? Bad things happen to who? Everybody. If you live on this earth long enough, you will experience pain. Everybody agree with that? If you live on this earth long enough, you are going to experience some grief in your life. You're going to get your turn. Who here's ever experienced grief? If you experience grief, stand up. But look around, everybody. Look around. This is pretty who?
Everybody.
It's everybody. It's everybody. Sit back down. And so we got to understand, listen to me, church, listen to me. God does not have it out for you. It's the way it works. It's the way it works. Being alive and being human's got some problems with it. I mean, it really does. It really does. And so when it happens to us, we cannot lean on our own understanding. We got to say to ourselves, wait a second, wait a second. This happens to who? Everybody. So what I got to do is say, wait, get my mind off of me and get it on a holy God. God, I don't understand why this is happening. I really don't, except that it's common to human beings. Everybody's going to go through this. Everybody. And Lord, I don't know how, and I don't know when, and I don't know all those things, but I know that you're going to get me through this. And I know at some time in my life, I'm going to be stronger because I had to go through this. Now, I know that doesn't make sense to a lot of people in this room, but how many lived through it, did it, and done it, and are stronger because they had to do it? Now, listen to me. My understanding is this. I don't want to live in a world where kids get cancer. I don't want to live in a world where kids get abused. I don't want to live in a world where ladies get raped. I don't want to live in a world where people get shot and go into the movie theater. I don't. I want to live in my perfect world. I do. I want it to be 78 degrees and sunny every day. How many want to live in a perfect place? I mean, I really do. I want it to be just so perfect. Oh, perfect. But guess what? Yo.
Not here.
Not here. How many will say, it's not here? It's not here. It won't be here until we get on the other side of heaven, right? So in the meantime, what are we to do? Really? No, really. What are we to do? Go into our homes and shut the blinds and the windows and turn off all the lights? Is that what we should do? Really? I mean, is that what we should do? Should we say to ourselves, you know what, I can't take this not one more minute. Who's ever thought of that one time in your life? I can't take this one more minute. How many thought about packing your bags and going to be a hermit somewhere in some deserted island? Jimmy, you ever think those things? Everybody's thought those things, right? Now, hence I say this, but anybody drive down the road and saw like a medium or a telephone pole and just thought one time? Anybody think just one time, boy, if I could just, you know, who's ever thought those kind of things? It's everybody. It's everybody. And you know why? Because it's our understanding. It's our understanding. And we got to get off of our thinking. How many of you know some of our biggest problems is because of us? How many know because of the choices we have made and the consequences that we have, it's not because somebody else did it? How many of you know that the reason why we are the way we are is not because a chihuahua bit us when we were two? How many will say, it's not, you know, I'm not the way I am because, you know, my mother said hello to the postman or whatever. How many know we are who we are because of the choices we have made? Is that a fair statement? We are who we are because of us. How many agree with that? How many agree with this statement? If you do what you have always done, you will be where you always are. Is that true? How many believe this? The definition of insanity is doing exactly the same thing, expecting a different result. True? And so if we want a different thing in our life, then we got to do different things. We really do. We have to look at life differently. Bad things happen to who?
Everybody.
Get over it. It happens to everybody. So what do we do when they happen to us? What do they do when it happens to us? Is what we have to decide. We have to decide this. The one thing that we got to understand is who God is. Is God out to get us when these bad things happen? No. He has plans for us. Plans to offer us a future with hope. Do you believe that? Turn to your Bibles. Isaiah chapter 55, verses 8 and 9.
For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts.
Ain't that something? My ways and your ways are, guess what? Different ways. I can tell you right now, my wife Sissy, we're married 41 years. I can tell you her ways and my ways are different ways. And her thoughts are definitely higher than my thoughts. But God, can you imagine God's ways and our ways? How many of you would forgive a pedophile, rapist, murderer? How many want to forgive that person? Would you do that? I mean, could you take a person that takes a child and abuses a child and murders a child? Could you forgive that child? How many say, I want to be in line to pull the switch? Let's just be real here, right? Did you guys recently hear, I'm not going to rain on your parade, but I want to tell you who God is. Recently in a newspaper, there was a guy that raped a 3-month-old baby and smothered her to death by laying on her. Would you forgive that guy? Who want to be first in line to pull the switch? Right? That's our ways. That's our ways. Would you send your son to die for that guy? Who would send your son, innocent son, to go die for that guy? Would you do that? No! That's our ways. That's our ways. It's hard for us to forgive anybody, let alone that guy. Right? That's our ways. That's our ways. And that's why when we explain to people, did you know that Jeffrey Dahmer could be in heaven? Ain't no way Jeffrey Dahmer's going to be in heaven. Oh, yeah, he could be. Whose way is it when we say no way?
Our way.
Our way. Did you know Mother Teresa could be in hell, theoretically, if she didn't accept Jesus Christ? And we say, no way, no way. That's whose way is that? Our way. But it's not about our way. It's about his way. It's his way. What is his desire? That not one single person should perish. Is that not his desire? And how many understand one, not one single person means what?
Nobody.
Nobody. How many believe in heaven? How many believe in angels? How many believe in God and the Holy Spirit? Have you been there? Have you ever seen an angel other than Sissy? Don't worry, I said that. You got that on tape? Perfect. I bet you all wish you said that about your spouse, huh? Other than Sissy, have you seen an angel? Twice. No. You believe in them? How many believe that those who died in Christ are with him in heaven? How many believe that day will come, we'll see them again? How many know the day is going to come, it's going to be a blessed reunion, hugs and kisses all around? That's because we're leaning on his understanding. He doesn't call a committee meeting of all of us to try to decide what he should do. Anybody thankful for that?
Yeah.
If he wanted to start a church, he'd call a committee of us, we'd say, what color the hymnal is going to be? What about the carpet? Should it be hardwood floor or carpet? God doesn't need our approval. God doesn't need our approval of his plans. God just says, here's my plan. And guess what? It's going to be done. With you or without you. Can you fathom that? So how does he get us involved in his plan? How does he get us involved in his way? How does he do that? How does he do that? He unsettles the nest. He makes it a little uncomfortable. Let me just close this lesson just with one thing you need to understand. Up in the hills and mountains of Arizona, where all the bald eagles are, do they make their nest like down on the ground or way up in the mountain?
Yeah.
Way up high in the mountain. That's what they do, right? And so the mother bald eagle comes and she makes a nest. Really big nest too, right, Robin? And she puts fur. Poor rabbit, I know, but don't think about the rabbit, but nothing goes to waste with the eagle. Nothing goes to waste. He takes a little furry little bunny rabbit tail and stuff and he puts it in the little nest and the baby eagles are soft and cushy. Soft and cushy, and little rabbit down and squirrel down. That's a good picture, huh? And little dry leaves and stuff like that. And little baby eagles in the little nest. And they're happy baby eagles. They like being baby eagles. They love it. They love it. Because all they have to do is open the little eagle mouth, and mommy comes and does what? Do you know I saw a lady did that the other day? Fed her child that way.
What?
I'm not going to give you the image. I got a lesson. Somebody told me about that. What's wrong? It's part of life. Get over yourselves. It's your understanding again. And the baby eagle's in the nest. And what's the baby eagle do? And what's mommy do? What's mommy do? And they're happy. They're happy babies. I'm warm and I'm cushy with my little bum. It's cold at night, and mommy comes down, and she sits on us. And I'm hungry. I open my little mouth. She drops little wormies in. Oh, life is good. Life is good. How long you think they'd like to be a baby eaglet?
Forever.
Don't do anything. Open my little mouth. Drop a little food in. Get a little cold. Mommy comes in. Oh, life is good. But see, mama knows something that they don't know. She knows something they don't know. She knows the day is going to come that they're going to find out. They're not eaglets. And on the appointed day, which is a mystery, and only she knows, she comes down into the nest and she's saying to herself, this is the day. And she sits there on the nest and she starts taking that little bunny fur and stuff, all that. She starts throwing it over the nest. And the little babies are cuddled in the little corner, make sure the little bummies are comfortable. And she's taking that fur, and she's throwing it over the mountain. Taking the leaves and she's throwing it out. And all that's left is just sharp, pointy sticks. That's all that's in there now. All that softness is all gone. And the babies are getting poked and, you know, ooh, this is not good. And they opened their little mouth and mama didn't put anything in it. And they're saying, this is not good. Not good. And the mama says to the one baby eaglet, well, you want to jump on my back? Better than this. Better than the pointy little sticks. Maybe we'll go get something to eat and go to the drive-by or something. I don't know. And so the little baby eaglet jumps up on the mama's back and says, this is good. It's nice and soft and warm, mommy. Mommy says, hang on. We're going to go for a ride. Oh. And the little baby eaglet is a little bit scared at first. And the baby eaglet is clinging on to mama's back. And that mother eagle soars. Those wings. How high is an eagle fly, Robert? You're a zoo person. Well, you are a zoo person. You're a zoo person. How high do things fly?
Above the jet stream.
Where?
Above the jet stream.
That's pretty high, right? That's more than a couple hundred feet. Above the jet stream. That's thousands of feet, right? Fact is, has it not been said that jetliners have seen them? Now imagine that, right? Jetliners have seen them. Oh, hi, eagle. And it's got the baby on its back. And the baby said, oh, mama, this is so great. And the mom said, you think that's something? And now the baby eaglet is thinking stuff. And I can't, like, talk baby eagle. But if I could, somebody like, wah! It'd be like that. And probably something like, I can't believe my mother dropped me. Jerry thought she loved me. Oh, I knew she loved Bill better than me. I knew it. I'm about to die. And that baby's falling thousands of feet. And that baby's thinking what? I'm dead. My mother hates me. She likes everybody better than me because I'm the one that's dying and all the rest are sitting in the nest. They probably got their mouth open being fed. And just before that baby eaglet hits the rocks. And I'm talking just before. I'm not talking like 22,000 feet, right, Robin? I'm talking just before. The eaglet thinks, it's it, I brought it. That mother eagle comes soaring out of the sky, right, Robin? Soaring out of the sky. You get like a rocket, whoa! And all of a sudden, before that baby bashes his little eagle head, here comes that mama eagle, boom, right? And catches that baby eagle on her back here. Oh, mama, I knew it was a mistake. I knew something got into you. I knew, oh, mama, I just knew you was having a bad day. You must be stressed out. Thank you, mama, thank you. Oh, don't worry, honey, child. It's going to be okay. And that mama eagle takes that baby back and does what? And the baby is, oh, the first time was a mistake. This ain't important. This is on purpose now. She's trying to kill me. And she does that how many times? Until the baby eaglet does what? Boom! And that's the day that the eaglet learns to fly. So don't you tell me that because God's drop on you that he doesn't love you. Because he does. Don't you tell me because you're going through trials and tribulation God hates you. No, he doesn't. When you're going through all these issues in your life and you can't get a grasp of it, it's because it's your understanding. It's because of your thinking. Get a life. God knows something about you as sure as God knows about the baby eaglet. We are not created to be in the baby nest. We are created to what? Fly. We are created to soar. And when you soar above your problems, guess how big your problems become? Small. Real small. So when you're going through trials and tribulations, what should you do? Get them arms out. And you fly. Isaiah the prophet clearly said, for those who wait upon the Lord, even youth will grow weary. Even youth will grow exhausted. But for those who wait upon the Lord, they shall renew their strength. They shall mount up on wings like eagles. They shall run and not grow weary. They shall walk and not be faint. So how many times is it going to take until you put those wings out? God's long-suffering. Guess how many times he'll drop you? Long as it takes. Until you decide, you know what? Enough. Enough of this. Enough of this. No wallowing in my misery. No whining. Just what? Soaring. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for the opportunity for these words to be here today, Lord. And we know we have trials and tribulations. We do. Everybody does. Everybody does. But Lord, for those who wait upon you, we will get those wings out. And we will soar. And one thing for sure, Lord, when we're soaring, we're going to run into some other eagles. Oh, praise the Lord. I would rather be soaring with the eagles than on this earth any day. And all of God's people said,